Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
It's Mail It In Friday.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
We're gonna educate Jonas over the next hour. There's a lot of things you need to learn.
Well, I felt bad because you guys were talking about another show called The Wire that I had never heard of.
You've never heard of The Wire?
No.
Do you know how egregious that statement is and how ridiculous that sounds? Like, The Wire is a massive part of pop culture.
I don't do Netflix. I don't.
It's HBO, dude. It was from like 15 years ago.
I don't care. I don't do it. I got into the Kevin Spacey one.
The House of Cards.
And I watched a season and a half, and then I just quit on that. I was like, no, thanks.
First season was great. Second season, not so great. Never watched after that.
Now it's gone.
No, it's still around, but Spacey's gone. Kevin Spacey, he ain't going to be a part of that anytime soon.
Nor will he be a part of any other show.
No.
Ever.
No, he won't be. I think he's probably done.
Like, oh, he's done.
But Mel Gibson made his way back in.
You just need time, and then people forget.
I think Spacey might get back in. Might. You know who will start doing comedy again is Louis C.K.
Ooh.
He'll start doing it again for
That's
sure.
That's going to be awkward. No.
Well, but here's the thing. Louis C.K., I don't think he's going to start doing TV immediately or movies. But if you own a comedy store or a comedy shop or whatever.
And he pops by?
Yeah, and he calls up and he's like, I'm coming down. Let's say you advertise it. People can make their own decision on whether or not they want to pay the price to go in to see him. And I guarantee you, if Louis C.K. was in Toronto tonight and it was announced he's playing at wherever, he would probably sell out. In fact, I know he would sell out. If he was playing Massey Hall tonight, they would sell that out. And there would be an uproar, and people all over the news would be talking about it. Should he be here? Do people want to go see him? Or why do they want to go see him? But people would buy those tickets. I think. So we got a guy over here who doesn't know The Wire. We got a guy over here that doesn't know about Tiger Woods' infidelity and everything that happened with him.
That is somewhat shocking that you are in sports.
Yeah, but I can know the basic story and just not know the details.
So isn't you that? Were aware that he had serious marital issues?
Yes. I remember the car crash, and that was on the news. What kind of car was he driving? Like, he crashed into a fire hydrant, wasn't it? Something
Escalade
like that?
Or something.
It had to be Range something Rover. That he was sponsored by.
So I know the basic outline, but I don't know, like, Perkins.
You don't know the Perkins Diner reference?
Not at all.
Any of the porn stars he was hooking up with?
No.
I don't think Stormy Daniels ever got on his radar.
I guarantee you he took her down somewhere.
I don't know. That's it. That's exclusive to the president, apparently.
Do we have the audio of Tiger? Try to find it, where he just calls one of the porn stars and he's like, look, I need a favor.
Hey, it's Tig. That's how it starts. It's Tig. You got to do me a favor.
Delete my number.
Don't ever call me again. But this is pretty revealing.
But the stories were that this guy was up to no good, and he leaves his cell phone on the coffee table, goes to the country club to play cards with his... Who does that?
Well... I guess someone who did, he thought he was invincible, didn't think he'd ever get caught. And he got caught. And he went down. But he's back in terms of the golf course anyway. All right, we've got Israel Gutierrez from ESPN on the line. And Israel, I got to ask you, you're from South Florida. You live down there. I'm assuming you know all the details of the Tiger Woods stuff, the infidelity, the Perkins Diner references. Is that a safe assumption that you're aware of all those stories?
Yes. Okay. For the most part.
Are you aware of the television show The Wire?
I am aware of it, although it's been a few years since I've completed seeing it, but I'm very aware of it.
Okay, so what sounds crazier to you? One of my co-hosts here never hearing of The Wire, he's never heard of it before, or the other co-host who claims that he doesn't really know any of the details of the Tiger Woods infidelity stuff?
Huh. I would have to say the crazier sounding one would be The Wire, for this reason. This is just my own sensibilities here. I'm not big on gossip. I'm not big on, you know, E! News. I'm not big on any of the Inquirer, nothing like that. So if it's away from the sports, you know, field or what have you, I'm probably not going to follow it too closely. So if he doesn't know the details about Tiger Woods, I would get that. But the idea of not getting the understanding or knowing what The Wire is, one of the most influential television shows of recent history in terms of pop culture, I think that's a little crazier.
Yeah. What the hell is it about? Is it about, like, the president or...
No, you actually really don't know anything.
I have no idea.
This isn't just an act. Like, this is, you're not messing around. It's about the inner streets of Baltimore and the drug game in Baltimore and the cops and the school system.
There's different themes to every season. Right. It's just an amazing
show. Brilliant. It's truly brilliant. We've got a big game going on here in Toronto tonight. Raptors, Rockets, and we've been debating all week, and this is an evergreen topic in sports. Is there such a thing as a statement game in the regular season? Where do you stand on that?
I think there are regular season games that, when if you were to meet in the playoffs, can affect one of the team's psyche. You know, I don't necessarily believe in the idea that, you know, it's set the bar as to where you are or who you can beat in a postseason because it's just one game. And we've seen way too many examples of teams that have, you know, run through another team, dominated one team in the regular season and lost in the postseason to them. And I remember LeBron James's team in Miami not having a lot of success against Chicago, for example, and they ran through them in the Eastern Conference Finals. So there are examples on both sides, but I do think for a team like Toronto, for example, anytime you get sort of that ego-boosting win in the regular season, I think it's helpful for them, given their obvious ups and downs and a lot of downs in the playoffs.
Who do you think needs home court advantage more, Houston or Toronto?
I've seen Toronto lose some home games in the playoffs that are just kind of head-scratching, so I don't know if it's really that critical to them, because obviously a game 7 at home is critical, but if you lose a game 1 at home, well, then it's not really going to be that beneficial to you for the rest of the season, for the rest of the series, rather. And that seems to be a thing for the Raptors. So, given the competition, given that we don't think that the Cavs are as good as they had been when they had Kyrie Irving alongside LeBron, and given that, you know, that Boston team, while very, very good, seemed beatable, I would say Houston probably needs it more, because the idea of a Game 7 in Houston against Golden State is probably the only way people are going to pick the Rockets to beat the Warriors, at least a healthy Warriors team.
Well, so Israel, up here in Toronto, got my geography wrong. Apparently,
dude,
I don't know that
lost
either.
Cause,
I'm
man.
In trouble
you're
today.
A lost cause.
But so Israel, down up here, we're kind of, we've got this notion that the people in the States aren't really looking at the Raptors seriously as a title contender. How seriously, though, do you think people inside the NBA look at the Raptors and say that's a team that can get to the finals, and maybe that's a team that can, I don't know, make things at least a semi-challenge against either Houston or Golden State?
I think those are two different topics and two different ways people are answering those. I think, and this is no disrespect to the current version of the Raptors, but I don't think that when people look at them, they see that the way they're going to win in the playoffs is different than the way they planned on winning in the playoffs before. Meaning they can play faster, they can play more steadily with that bench that's probably more reliable. You know, they can do all that. But in the end, the idea is in the playoffs, you rely on your stars in key moments. And DeMar and Kyle have just had, again, head-scratching type of performances or moments in the playoffs, at least for certain stretches. And when you look at the makeup of this team, it still comes down to the two of them, in all likelihood, making those plays. Like every year, it's okay, is Valanciunas going to be it? Or, you know, a little bit back, was it Terrence Ross that's going to emerge as a number three? Whoever it was, it never really was enough. And you look at this roster, while it's deeper and, like I said, more steady, I don't know if it's got enough to say, for people to comfortably say, hey, this team can make a run for a championship. I do think the only reason you could comfortably say, hey, this team can get out of the East is not so much because they are different. It's because Cleveland and maybe Boston is different. And so you can convince yourself that Toronto, with more continuity, and more success in the regular season can get past them in a playoff series or two, but I think the championship talk might be a little premature.
With Israel Gutierrez of ESPN, Rockets Raptors tonight down at the ACC. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. I do think there has been evidence throughout the year from the Raptors of a different style of play and a commitment to a different style that you hope can carry over. And I'll use the game in Detroit as a primary example. The focal point for SportsCenter and the highlights was the DeMar dunk to end the fourth quarter. But the more important play was the game winner, because he drove and he kicked it to Fred in the corner. And I think in years past, DeMar
would have forced the shot.
He forced it. Forced a shot and tried to either get fouled or tried to hit a miracle. And I understand it's different playing a game in March in Detroit than it is playing in Cleveland in May. But that was significant.
Well, how many times have you seen at the end of a game, Brian, where everyone knew it was going to Kyle Lowry?
Yeah.
And the opposition obviously knew it, too. And it never, it would always not work.
But that's the debate up here, right? Like, do you believe, Izzy, that this will carry over? That mentality, that type of play can and will carry over for the Raptors in the playoffs?
I believe it can, and I believe they'll do everything, meaning DeMar, Kyle, whomever, do everything possible to make it, to force themselves to continue to play that way. But there comes a point where muscle memory kicks in, where habits kick in, and if these are, you know, habits that have overtaken the old ones, then, yeah, obviously it'll come up, and they'll play that way, and, you know, we'll see what kind of success they have. But, again, we've seen them more often than not go the other route, go the, you know, like you said, the hero ball route, whatever you want to call it, and it not result in the same amount of success or the same level of success. So it's one of those things where it's human nature and it's sports nature where you won't believe it until you see it. And so as many times as you guys have seen it, as many times as, you know, Raptors fans have seen it this year, the rest of us won't be certain it'll continue in the postseason until we see it. That's unfair. It's unfair for everybody, and it's unfair for me to lay that on you as an answer. But the truth is, like, I have no idea how DeMar and Kyle and those guys are going to respond when it's different, when it's the postseason, and when it's the same opponent over and over again. So I guess we'll see, but there is reason to be optimistic.
Yep, believe me, you're not alone. Raptors fans are in the same position. Like, they have to get past Cleveland if it gets to that point, get past Boston if it gets to that point, and we'll wait and see. Thank you for doing this. Always appreciate it.
My pleasure.
There's Israel Gutierrez of ESPN. We've got a trade to announce.
What?
The Buffalo Bills have traded Tyrod Taylor. Do you want to take a guess at where he's
going?
The Cleveland Browns.
Why would they get him?
The Cleveland Browns have acquired Tyrod Taylor. And they acquired Jarvis Landry earlier this afternoon from Miami. So they've brought up Landry, who was franchise tagged, so they're going to have to pay him. And now they brought in Tyrod Taylor, and they got the first overall pick and the fourth overall pick in the draft. Maybe it says they're actually going to take this Barkley kid out of Penn State. Like, it shouldn't, because Tyrod Taylor is not a bona fide starting quarterback in the NFL. He's not. But he's safe. He'll be safe. Him and Jarvis Landry, they'll throw underneath all night. That's what Landry does. He doesn't take it deep. He's all about 5, 6, 7 yard passes across the middle. Those two will connect all season. But maybe the Browns are actually going to take a running back first overall. They might. There's a belief that they might. When is that?
Has that ever happened?
Running back, I don't know if a running back's ever gone first overall.
Yeah, definitely. New Orleans.
Yeah, definitely has. No, because like Eric Dickerson was a first overall pick, I believe. And there have been first overall picks, but it's been like 25 years. It's been like mid-90s.
Who was the guy that came to the CFL? Wasn't he a
Ricky Williams?
He went third overall.
Oh, he was third?
Yeah, he went third.
And Reggie Bush was like top five?
He went second. Remember, they took Mario Williams, and that was like
that
controversial.
Kid from NC State, that defensive player from NC State?
Yeah, it was controversial. Remember, Houston was on the clock, and everyone was like, you got to take Bush. You got to take him. And they didn't. They took Williams instead, and Bush went second. It was the right move in the end. You know, you always take the pass rusher over the running back. But this Barkley kid out of Penn State is like off the charts good. And there's a chance he goes first overall. So,
oh my God.
Tyrod Taylor to the Browns. All right, Sean Foley, swing coach former swing coach of Tiger Woods, will join us in about 15 minutes. You guys ready for the Friday five pack?
Yes.
He keeps asking me to give him a high five.
All right, classic. High five.
Five beers.
Yeah, they were all out of six packs.
Weird, huh?
Friday, five pack.
Top five.
And the five pack is brought to you by Cool Beer Brewery. So, you came up with this one.
I'm going to start with Arnold Palmer, obviously.
Okay, you got to explain it, though. You got to explain what the five pack
is. Okay, go ahead. That's your job.
I just said you came up with it. So
okay,
I'm putting it on
We are going the five pack with the top five needle movers of all time in sports.
Right.
Guys that would move the needle, guys that you had to watch, guys that transformed the game, changed the game, whatever they did.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to kick it off with Arnie Palmer. They talked about this guy like he was, Arnie's army. The television, everything changed when he came on the scene. My second guy is Michael Jordan. I don't know about you guys, but when I was kind of growing up, I had to watch the Bulls play in the finals. It was must-watch TV. Michael Jordan was must-watch TV for mm-hmm. me. Tiger Woods is... He could probably
He's still doing it right now.
Yes.
Like the PGA Tour live
app. Triple everything when he's involved.
The app went down today. Like it was overcome with people seeking out coverage of Tiger. Like today, the app went down. How does an app go down? The live look-in app on PGATour.com and the PGA Tour app shut down because too many people were like, I got to see Tiger.
I got Gretzky in my list.
Ooh.
Wayne Gretzky,
yeah.
He was the real deal for me.
No question. I'm not going to include hockey players because it's so different up here. Like Lindros, when he broke in, was a needle mover. Gretzky was clearly a needle mover. McDavid, when he first started playing, still is.
And the last guy I got was Shaq. I think Shaq was just a unique, different character where he was ripping down baskets. And
we've never seen anything like that.
No.
7 feet.
And he was like kind of got into the movies. And
Kazam. You ever see that movie?
He knows about Kazam.
What's with you, dude?
It's not a good movie, but I know it. I know it exists.
You're a pod.
Listen, you can't.
And I threw one more. It is a five pack. There was my five. This is a plus one. Conor McGregor moves the needle.
You got McGregor in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we should have done top five TV shows now that we're talking about this.
We'll do that again. You'll be included in that.
All right.
Do you want to go ahead, Jonas?
Sure.
Go ahead.
I have a couple the same as you. Tiger, Jordan. I went LeBron just because nowadays, like, anything...
The needle is so much bigger than it ever
was. It's crazy. Like, anything he does is we watch, we read about. He's the number one thing on ESPN in the States. I went Barry Bonds, who for a while there was like...
That's a good one.
He
yeah,
was like
a
circus. He was...
They interrupted everything on ESPN and went to his at-bats when he was chasing down the record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's now really he's like
He's a hitting coach.
For the Marlins.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
And Stanton just hit, like, how many home runs? 60?
He didn't hit 60. He hit 59, I believe. Okay. But now he's in New York, so...
And then I bumped out Tom Brady for Babe Ruth. Is that five?
Yeah. You had to put Babe Ruth in there before there was even a needle. Like, there was no TV back then.
He was like the star of stars back in that day. If you're going to include Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, that's true.
Babe Ruth.
Okay. This is the thing about doing these lists. I have Muhammad Ali on my list.
Yeah.
But admittedly, I never got to see him fight. But I've been fascinated with his life, with his career. The Vietnam protesting, his... switch his conversion to Islam, like everything that Ali represented fascinates me, and I can only imagine what that was like when he was fighting like Frazier and Foreman, and it's just crazy. But that's the only guy that I included that isn't really a part of my era to an extent. I put a bit of a different spin on a baseball. I got a two pack, McGuire and Sosa in 98. Like, the two of them, that's probably, outside of anything Blue Jays, the most memorable baseball experience of my life.
Because they were basically hitting home runs every day.
Every single day. They were both in conjunction chasing the record.
Yeah.
And McGuire got it, but he just beat Sosa. Like,
and
he just got
it playing against Sosa.
Against Sosa. And Sosa ran in from, was it right field, I guess? It was an incredible theater.
I remember being so mad that I think he shook Mark Grace's hand at first base. I'm like, what is this? Why are they stopping the game?
You didn't know that he had just beat the record?
No, I knew. I just thought it was like too much. Like, there's still a game.
I see. So you didn't think that kind of history was worthy of showing
the game? No, if I was
though.
At first base, I wouldn't I wouldn't even look at him.
If you were Mark Grace,
keep going, bud. Let's keep playing.
You would have just said, I'm not acknowledging your history. Okay. Usain Bolt is a needle mover.
Yeah, he is.
Whenever he showed up at the Olympics and was, like, the 100-meter race with Usain Bolt.
That moved the needle for the whole Olympic Games.
The epitome of must-see TV, because you could only see it every 4 years, him at the Olympics. Usain Bolt. Tim Tebow at Florida. And partially in the NFL. Let's be honest.
And as a member of the Mets farm team.
Yes, including as a member of
Twitter
the Mets farm system.
Twitter goes nuts whenever Tim Tebow goes up to bat.
Everyone, a lot of people got tired of the Tebow conversation. But when he was in Denver, and he won that playoff game against Pittsburgh, remember, he threw it deep in overtime and won in overtime. Tim Tebow was must-see TV. He was. And I also have Tiger, just because of what happened this weekend. There's so many different options. I mean,
I had
think
Tyson
about
on my list.
Ooh, yeah,
that's
Tyson.
A good one.
Tyson's a really good one. Really good one. There's so many of them. Like, and again, I didn't include hockey ones, but like from my perspective, as a kid, you had to watch Gretzky, Lemieux, Lindros when he broke into the league, Sid when he broke in, Ovi when he, there's so many.
Forsberg.
Yeah, there's so many great, great players. And the needle can move, but there's certain guys that are on a completely different level. And we've been talking about with Tiger throughout the afternoon. Like, I know there's some Tiger fatigue. I get it, but there's too many people out there that want to see him exclusively.
Well, there's not Tiger fatigue right now. It's been so long since he's been last won a tournament, since he's been relevant. They're dying for it. There's no fatigue.
You get, I'm telling you, man, people are tweeting in being like, I'm done with Tiger. He's washed up. I've had enough of Tiger. I don't really buy that. I don't buy it. I think you're wasting your time and your energy with those text messages and tweets, because I think you're going to be tuned in just like everybody else.
That's right.
Like, if you catch word that he's making the turn on Sunday and he's up a stroke, you're watching that. You're watching what he's going to do on the back nine on Sunday. Except for Jonas.
Yeah.
And we'll be watching Breaking Bad.
You're like talking about Breaking Bad like it's not the greatest show you've ever seen.
Can I confess something?
You haven't seen it. Oh,
I've never
seen it. You haven't seen it. So you can't even be in this conversation.
I've never seen it. So I don't have an opinion on Breaking Bad. I've heard it's a great show.
But the difference.
So what are you yelling at me for? I haven't seen The Wire.
I've heard of Breaking Bad.
What's your high horse like?
Dude, he said he had never heard of The Wire.
Never heard of it.
Like, you don't know what it's about. I know what Breaking Bad's about.
It's about a guy that makes drugs in his basement.
Yeah, and he's got a terminal illness, and he starts making drugs and all that kind of stuff, and he's down in New Mexico, I believe. I know the story, but you don't even know what The Wire's all about.
No, I thought it was like a government, like, wiretapping.
Well, it is. It's the police that are wiretapping. Anyway.
Hey, I'll check it out.
I strongly suggest you do.
And well, I can watch just go to Netflix and just click on.
No, I don't know if it's on Netflix. I don't
it's actually,
it is.
I think it's on Crave.
Yeah, it is on Crave.
Yeah.
Yeah, get on Crave.
Breaking Bad just hits higher highs than Sopranos. That's the difference. Okay. You'll see.
I guarantee you I won't like it better than The Sopranos.
You will.
I guarantee it.
It's not, like, it doesn't have the humorous parts that The Sopranos sometimes had, but it's way more intense. It's way deeper. It's way more detailed.
I've heard it's a brilliant show. I intend on checking it out. Yeah. I held off on Game of Thrones, and then I got into it, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. But nothing. I can't picture myself loving a television show the way I love The Sopranos. I just can't.
Just go into it open.
I'll try. But I tried to do that with The Office. We had that conversation the other day. Like, the British version of The Office with Ricky Gervais, I think, is the funniest sitcom in history. Like, the funniest TV I've ever seen. I think it is so brilliant. He plays such a brilliant character. I cannot bring myself to watch Steve Carell in that role and watch the American version. I just can't. I can't do it. So I didn't have an open mind, and I don't think I will with Breaking Bad.
It's a great way.
But I'll try.
Look at you telling me to embrace things.
No, I'm telling you to.
And then follows
world.
It up with, I didn't have an open mind, and I will not do it going forward.
This wasn't about open-mindedness. This wasn't. No, it's not. You didn't even know. You were ignorant.
No, I knew the basics. I'm exactly like Israel. I just don't care about the National Enquirer type stuff. It's not interesting to me.
All right.
So,
Sean Foley will join us. This is a big one for you. I need a lot out of you here.
Yeah.
I need a lot out of you with Sean Foley. Tiger's former swing coach. Get his take on the relationship, what he's seen out of him the past couple of days. And we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine and the Maple Leaf lineup player of the day. We'll do that next. So Tiger Woods has had himself a great 36 holes down at the Valspar. And we have a poll question up on our Twitter account, at Overdrive1050, asking people, what's the biggest event for you this weekend? And this is Toronto-centric, obviously. 42% of the vote, Leafs-Pens tomorrow night. 30% of the vote, Tiger Woods at the Valspar. 28% Raptors-Rockets tonight.
Wow.
So it's pretty close, but based on the audience that we have on Twitter right now, Raptors-Rockets surprisingly coming in third.
I thought they would get more love.
I think they should. Like, I admitted, for me, it probably is Tiger because Raptors have had big games. They'll continue to have big games. I've seen Sid at the ACC many times. I'm looking forward to both games. They're both going to be must-see TV for me. But I haven't had this kind of vibe for Tiger in years. Like, he hasn't played this well and looked this healthy against a very formidable field at a very good golf course in a long time. So, you know, I had the outrageous take out off the top saying, as much as it's a cool story that there's a Canadian guy by the name of Corey Connors who's currently in the lead, I'd rather see Tiger win. I'd rather see Tiger win
Me too.
Than a Canadian golfer.
Me too.
Because I don't feel the need, just because he's Canadian, I have to support him.
No, I've actually never heard of the guy. You usually kind of hear whispers of young guys coming up in the ranks in Canadian golf. I never heard of this guy.
He's having the first two rounds of his life.
And I think he basically hung around and somebody withdrew and he got in last second.
Did he? Okay, there you go. Corey Connors, he's at 6 under. He's 2 up on anyone else. 2 up on the field.
Do you think he's like stewing, upset that Tiger's stealing his limelight?
Well, he's going to be paired with him tomorrow, isn't he?
I don't know. There's a bunch of guys at 4 under. So, Paul Casey's there, Brant Snedeker, Ryan Palmer, Kelly Kraft. It might be Tiger and Corey Connors. You talk about a guy
that'll get your attention.
He may soil himself tomorrow. Just a duck hook off one. Right into the trees.
In the U.S. Open.
Just a worm burger.
Right off someone's scalp. I would quit.
So would I. If I was in the lead at a tournament and I hit a worm burner on one, I'd quit.
Because I wouldn't want to hit the next one.
And think about how many people would be watching you if you were paired with Tiger.
Like, how just trying to hurry and just get out of the way, just like before?
Imagine that. You're in the lead at the tournament and you're like, I'm just going to try to stay out of the way here. You know.
Go ahead, beat me. I don't care. I just don't want to shank one.
Where was that, the Tom Kite worm burger?
It was at the U.S. Open. I'll pull it up for you in a commercial.
It's one of the great shots of all time.
I know.
It's the worst pro tour shot I've ever seen.
Yes.
Like,
it's 4 feet in the air and it hits somebody in the knee. All right, pull it together here.
We got Sean Foley on the line here, and I'm dying over a shot from 30 years ago by Tom Kite. He is the former swing coach for Tiger Woods. He's coached a lot of great pros throughout the world, and he joins us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here is Sean Foley. How you doing, Sean?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. I mean, we'll get into this Tiger stuff in the tournament in a minute, but we were just kind of joking about, you know, pro players hitting horrible shots. If you're their coach, what's that like to experience one of your players just hit a horrible shot?
Oh, I mean, it's how many times I've experienced it, like about a million times, right? So, yeah, I mean, what do you do? I mean, it's when someone that good hits a shot like that, you have to ask them, what were you possibly thinking about before and during that? So to me to be that good and then to hit that bad a shot, one, shows the arbitrary nature of this crazy game, but two, I would say that they weren't really feeling it when they did it. I remember that Tom Kite video. I've seen that. It's unbelievable. But you know, the problem for the viewers out there is when they watch golf, they just see the guys in the lead. So you don't get to see me at a major on Sunday, get to the course at 7 a.m. to do the walk of shame for the first tee time, right? So, golf is golf is a hard game, and I think it can make everyone look pretty vulnerable.
We were talking about moving the people that move the needle in sports and what Tiger Woods does for golf. You've been at tournaments when he's there and when he's not there. What is the difference just walking around the grounds and people knowing that he's there? It's a big-time difference, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, when I turned the TV on this morning to see how he was doing, I think they were on 1, 2, 3. They're on 4, that little par 3, and there must have been, I counted, like almost 12 deep. It's different this time, I think. I think what's different is I think he's made a decision to kind of clean it up and get back to doing what he's always done. I think he was kind of in the abyss there for a minute, and now that he's sorted out, I think the energy from the crowd is different. It was when he first came back the first time, when he took that hiatus in 2009 and he came back to the Masters in 2010, I think the galleries were big, just wondering like, wow, like, you know, what's it going to be like? You know, he's never taken 3 months off. He had went from like a god to a punchline overnight. So it was a totally different day. I'll never forget. I was right there on the range watching it. And now it seems like, you know, the people are more supportive. I've never seen him be so friendly, kind of with the gallery and kind of take it less seriously. And I think that's important because I think sometimes when you are a certain way for a long time, and it brings you success, you do that. But when that same bold approach that brought you to a position of power, when the paradigm shifts, that same bold approach won't work. So I just see more humility in Tiger, and because of that, I see more gratitude. So gratitude to me is the effect of humility. So, you know, if he's kind of had all this time, you know, after his DUI, after these things that occurred, to kind of come to sense of it. Look, if Tiger has a clear mind, I mean, of course he's going to be in this position. Like, it's amazing to me when I've done interviews in the last few months and the interviewer is so surprised that I'm saying that I think he wins a major this year. And they're like, how could you possibly think that? I'm like, do you not have a memory of what he did forever? So it's not like that goes anywhere, right? Things may get in the way of it, but the essence of his greatness is still there. You don't lose talent. I hate that word, but you don't lose that kind of intuitive ability, whether you're Tiger Woods, Patrick Roy, Wayne Gretzky, or Roger Federer. You might have a blip on the radar, but I'm the least surprised.
Is tomorrow going to be the first major test, though? I mean, he's going to be in one of the final groups. He's going to be on a challenging golf course, and maybe, like, finally for once, Tiger, the great Tiger Woods, will feel nerves, and we'll see how his golf swing can hold up under those pressures.
Yeah, he's the most nervous on Thursday anyways, because, you know, as far as it goes on Thursday, Thursday is where you lose tournaments, because if you play bad on Thursday, you don't have much of a chance. So I would argue he's probably the most nervous on Thursdays. Because he's human. But yeah, look, I just think it's great. Like, for me, regardless of whether he's my friend or we work together, whatever, that just as the kid who grew up in Canada watching this guy and pretty much studying everything about him from the time he's 14, I mean, it just looks right when he's playing golf. And so me, for him, I'm just really happy to see that he's in the position where he gets to do that again. As far as being in the last group, if he's in the last group, he's probably more comfortable because that's what he's used to. You're not used to being like in the first group. So I think we'll see. I mean, we got to be patient with it. You know, he's hit some iffy shots and he's recovered excellent. So I would say in that score, there's been some good breaks. I mean, that shot that he hit, that he got up and down on 16 yesterday where he hit the shot where his club hit the tree. I mean, that's a foot from being an unplayable lie or having to do something different. So, I mean, that's golf, you know. I think the good breaks and the bad breaks probably even out over a career. But, I mean, just think about the TV ratings. Golf is in a good place, but if he's doing well, it's just such a bonus. It's just such a bonus. And, I think for me, I don't watch sports much, but if I know like Sidney Crosby or LeBron or Messi are playing, I tend to watch those games, even though I don't really understand hockey, basketball, or soccer, because it's just not my thing. But I can see when I watch them, there's this greatness about them. And I think that, you know, people do the same with Tiger, whether or not they've played golf or not. It's they turn it on because he just, you know, he kind of looks like the truth. So, yeah, look, I would love to see him do well. He's been through a lot. He put himself through a ton of stuff. I would say that the industry that was built on his back wasn't necessarily kind and forgiving. And I would love to see him. I'd love to see him kick ass.
With Sean Foley, golf instructor and Tiger Woods' former swing coach, and I wanted to ask you about that because you just said like you worked with him, but you're also his friend. And he went through a lot of stuff, a lot of it self-inflicted. You know, the DUI, that's on him. The extramarital stuff that went public, that's on him. But I don't remember a lot of people on tour or in the golf world, you know, going to bat for him. He was a punching bag, and a lot of people were like, I'm not touching this. Did you find yourself in a position, like you were working with him at the height of this stuff, where you were defensive and you were fighting back and fighting on his behalf?
I mean, not so much. Like my one of my heroes is Mandela, and he didn't get to the level he got by taking the bait. You know what I mean? Like, I think Mandela talked about the high road, and he said that the high road's the only road to take because there's no traffic lights or stop signs. And you got to realize, like, you know, people don't like what they don't understand, and everyone is an expert now. You know, you got Twitter, you got this. I mean, people think they're Pulitzer Prize winning authors writing 144 words. And, you know, for example, like Twitter erupts. Twitter doesn't erupt. They're just trying to get our attention. Like it's kind of a joke. So for me, for him, I've always understood that when people are hating on someone, it's more a function of like confused admiration than anything else. So yeah, it wasn't easy. I was with the greatest player ever after he went through the greatest pitfall in his life. So I was realistic in understanding that things may be different, and they were. And but, you know, everyone has the right to their own opinion. But for me, you know, I'm not going to make a comment on any of your lives until I spend, like, 2 weeks with you every single day, watching you every single day. It's like, until that point, I'm just speculating, and I think for the most part, when people get that way, you know, it's like it's a world full of perfect people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, you take a look at like John, for example, playing the NHL all those years, and all the people who sit at the bar and they're like, I can't believe he went left. Well, they've never even skated when it mattered. So it's like, who cares, right?
Well,
they'll never know till they know.
No, they won't. And with Tiger, it was on such a different level because of who he is. Well, it'll be a fun weekend, nevertheless. We're all hoping that he holds up and everything works out.
He's building up. You know, like he's hitting it plenty far. His short game and his putting looks so good. And I would say that, you know, the years that I worked with Tiger, we at one stage we won 9 tournaments in 22 events, but we didn't putt like he used to. And so to me, to see him putting well means that he's probably come to peace with something. I think putting shows, like if you have a lot of noise in your head, it shows up in putting. It doesn't really show up like on a 4-iron, but I think it shows up in putting. I've always seen the great putters to be a little bit more gentle in how they do things, a little bit more laid back. Whereas the guys who are bombers, they're kind of a little bit more intense with a little bit more tension. I've always seen, you know, think about the great putters, right? Like you think about Lauren Roberts, his stroke looked like it made like a minute to happen. Steve Stricker is a really gentle guy. Ben Crenshaw was called Gentle Ben. So, yeah, I think it's great, man. I think he's only 42. If he stays healthy, which he looks like he will, who knows? I mean, I wouldn't doubt if he broke Jack's record. I mean, it would be one of the great stories of all time. It's a story that people need, right? Because we all kind of go through ruts and we all go through adversity, and it's not really what happens to you. It's kind of how you deal with what happens to you. So this could be really cool.
Thank you, Sean. Really appreciate it, man. We'll do it again down the road.
But that being said, my man Justin Rose is only two shots off the lead. So
watch him.
You know who I want to win first, and then if Tiger wins, if we don't win and Tiger wins, I'll be happy as well. But okay. I wouldn't mind knocking the big man off.
All right, we'll see, man. 36 more holes. We'll see. Enjoy it.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
There's Sean Foley, a golf instructor, Tiger Woods' former swing coach. Interesting guy, too.
Yeah, he has a lot of different ideas about the golf swing and how it's energy from the body to the grits. You could tell he's
in tune with all that kind of stuff. Sean Foley joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.ca. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Recap a busy afternoon and tee up a big weekend here in Toronto. Overdrive continues on TSN2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the Raptors tonight, and I'm on the Leafs tomorrow.
You know what I'm on? Vacation.
You're going on vacay. You're off to Georgia, right?
I'm off to Collingwood with my kids skiing and then a little bit of golf time.
Look at you, eh? We'll call you. We'll check in with you.
No, sir.
Find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. We believe Noodles will be back next week. He's been all over New York and Philly and Jersey. He's everywhere. And Jonas, are you back in next week at any point?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know when. I forget.
Thanks for doing this.
I'll see you next week.
Jonas Siegel of The Athletic. Oh, we'll catch you in a couple of weeks. I'm back Monday at 4 p.m.
You're going to chat then.